God was actually going, you know what, Joseph, this is who I want you to become. This is who I want you to be, and this is who I'm going to make you to be. But who knows that the process never looks fun? So we look in verse 23. I'm just going to give you the points. You can go home and read it. In verse 23, he goes out to find his brothers who are working the field. His dad goes, go check out on them. So he's definitely the favorite child. He's not out there working. They're like, just go and bring me back word what they're doing. Like that was probably me sometimes. Anyway, go tell me what my other sons are doing. He goes out there. They're like, hang this brother. Let's throw him in a pit and let's kill him. One of his brothers says, let's not kill him. That's a bit far, right? And then, so they throw him in a pit and then some slave buyers, let's call them, drive past, or probably on a horse, whatever that looked like, drive past on a horse. They buy him, and they take him to Egypt to be a slave. He's been sold into slavery. His brothers tell the dad when they get home, oh, they took his robe off him, said, oh, look, daddy has been eaten by whatever. He's now dead, right? So this is the picture of where Joseph's at. So the journey's not looking great at the beginning, right? So then it goes on. He's sold as a slave in verse 28. So when he gets to Egypt, he's actually sold by these people to Potiphar. And Potiphar is like he's up there in Egypt. He's one of the top officials. And he's sold to him as his slave. Now the thing is with this, you could look at this and go, God, you gave me a dream of I was going to be here, right? And then things start going wrong. But God kind of paints a picture in this as, although it was all turning to poop, God gave him favor. That was the words in the Bible. So as he got into Potiphar's house, he very quickly, it says, worked his way up and had favor by God. And he was put in charge of the whole house of Potiphar, right? And so already God had favor. So you could look at that in two ways. You could go, God, my life sucks. I've been sold as a slave. I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. This is where I'm going to die. It's all over for me. Or he could look at it and go, you know what, God? It doesn't look great right now, but I had a dream. I had a word from the Lord. And this is where I'm going to be. I don't know how. It's looking way worse, but I'm going to get there. So then you think, okay, you've had enough, mate. You can probably learn some lessons along the way. So in that, he's learning how to be humble, how to serve, how to trust God in the midst of it all. And then it just keeps getting worse. Potiphar has this wife who's a bit of a hussy. Sorry, boys. And it says, day after day, Potiphar's wife tries and seduces Joseph. So she's probably got all the right clothes on. She's probably doing a dance. I don't know how they do it back then, right? Guys, it says it in the story. There's no need to laugh, right? There's no dancing going on. But it says day after day after day, he continued being approached by... So it's not just any woman. It's the top chief official, his wife, is now trying to seduce him. So it's like he's saying to her, come on, this is like not okay. You're going to ruin my life, right? Until one day, there was no one in the house. And Potiphar's wife says, come in, Joseph, right? And tries it on again, right? It says he was wearing a cloak. So I'd hope he'd be wearing stuff underneath it. But it says she tried it on again, right? She put her best effort in. And you don't like my stories, do you? But it actually says he fled. He knew so much that where it would get him, but also where God had called him to, that he ran. Like, I have a bit of a story about running from this kind of stuff. I know that sounds really weird. We actually stayed in Paris when we went to Paris. Oh, this is going well. We thought, oh, we'll stay on, you know, the like the strip of road where Moulin Rouge is and all the Parisy things are. Well, that was a mistake. We booked 7 nights there, and you can just imagine what's on that road. One night I was like, I'm going to go get a hot chocolate for us. It was just me and Sky at that point. And so went downstairs, walked a few blocks, and like there's all sorts. I need to be careful, all right? You can just imagine. And had my hot chocolates, 2 hot chocolates, and I'm walking back to the room, and I get tapped on the shoulder by something. maybe a lady of the night, that's well put. And started saying, hey, how are you going? And I'm like, here with my hot chocolates. And what did I do? I didn't even say anything to her. I just ran. So much, because I was just like, I don't know what to do with this. And so I'm running past all these crazy places. I get back to the room, and I'm like, Sky, you wouldn't believe what happened. And she just looked at me, and I had hot chocolate all over me. But I feel like it's quite biblical, because in 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee from sexual immorality. So I feel like I was doing the right thing. Do you know what? That story wasn't even in my notes, but it kind of just came to me as I looked at Sky. Anyway, so I can sympathize with Joseph. Bro, run. Boys and girls, run. It's the easiest option, right? Not with hot chocolates. Man, it was a mess. That was a funny time. Anyway. But I think at this point, Joseph's going, what the heck? But as he runs out, Potiphar's wife grabs his cloak. And he's still running, and she's got the cloak in the house. She's obviously quite angry. This guy's not going to sleep with me. This guy's not going to do this. And so she starts making accusations to Potiphar, to everyone around. This guy's tried something on, tried to rape me, all this sort of stuff. And he gets chucked into the prison. At that point, if it was me, I don't think I'd get there. But anyway, God, have your way. I just feel like, God, where the heck are you? You told me that I was going to be a person of power, a person of influence, that my brothers would come before me and bow before me. How does this all work in this picture? We all know the end of the story. Well, we might do, but Joseph gets promoted. Joseph, he interprets Pharaoh's dream, the head ruler of Egypt, and gets appointed gets taken out of prison, and God starts to elevate Joseph, so much so that he becomes a ruler of a whole bunch of stuff that God then goes further and does. That's not really the point today, but God takes him out of it. But he had to go through this process that didn't look nice. I know for me, I think I'm still in the process. Does that make sense? The process never looks nice. There's an analogy about this. I'm going to bring it up. I just read it on my phone. I was like, God, what the heck is this? This is like perfect. It's talking about, so in biblical times, I'm just going to read this and then you can do what you want with it. It's about refining silver. It says, in biblical times, silver was refined in a hot furnace to remove impurities. So the impurities was called dross. So I have a picture in my mind when I read this of a jeweler, right? Because that's what we use silver for now, but they might have been making swords or whatever they wanted to make. But they wanted to make silver pure. They wanted to get rid of all the rubbish. So all the rubbish is called dross. So the silversmith would put it in a real hot furnace. As the silver melted and purified, it was incredibly bright and reflective. I started reading this, I was like, oh my goodness. So the silversmith had to watch it closely because overheating it could damage the metal. So I have this picture of, let's say, a jeweler. He's sitting at his table He's got this silver really hot and he's keeping an eye on it. He can't stop watching, right? He has to keep looking at it. He doesn't want to destroy the metal. And what happens is all the rubbish in that silver starts to float to the surface. And he's there with his little spoon or whatever it is, and he just wipes away all that rubbish, all that stuff that's coming out. Then it goes on to say, when the silver was fully purified, it became so clear and polished that the silversmith could see his reflection in it. This is such a picture of our life, because we sing songs in church, which may be slightly intentional, but it's to start to stir your heart of, God, would you refine me? God, would you change me? But do we actually know what we're asking? Do we know that we're actually saying, not God, I want an awesome, super-duper life, because in our humanity, that's what we expect. Because God, everything isn't going right now. God, I just need you to fix it all, and I'm going to have the perfect life. I'm going to tell you right now, if that's what you're looking for, you're not going to find it. The thing about the impure metals coming to the surface, it shows me a picture of my journey, and I don't know about your journey, of when God's really taken me through the fire, when I've said, God, I want to get deeper with you. That, you know, bad stuff might start to happen, and you might start going, but God, I asked you, what's that coming out of me to the surface? Recently, I've probably been a little bit snappy. This guy might be a testimony to that. But it's just this short temper that comes out of nowhere, and it's like, God, what is this? This isn't me. This isn't who I am. And then sometimes there's this pride or there's this anger that just dwells up. And I'm like, God, I'm with you. I'm believing that you're going to change my life. But what's this rubbish? Because sometimes we look for the right answer, the perfect situation. But when stuff comes up like this, we almost dismiss it and go, well, I did that. That's me. That's just my own humanity. But actually what it might be is that we're in the furnace, we're getting a bit heated up, and God is actually revealing to us the things that he wants us to change in our heart. I hope you're getting this point this morning. Because so many times we can go, oh, it's the devil. You know? But maybe it is not always that. Maybe as God is putting us through situations to dwell up things in our life that have been there for so long, been sitting there dormant, all these little things that niggle at us, maybe it's past hurt. Maybe it's some trauma that we've had growing up that we don't even recognize, that God actually just wants to deal with, because he knows the freedom that comes. He knows the purpose that comes. I feel like God's given me words for my life that still haven't come to fruition. And so now it starts me the questioning of, God, what is in me that is stopping me from getting there? Because so many times I feel like he's heated me up. I'm ready to go. All this stuff comes to the surface and I just push it back down again. And then we have to go through that again and again and again. And it feels like, God, I'm not getting anywhere. And God just one day just dropped to me and goes, because you're not listening. And you're not taking what I've given you that is actually coming out of you. You're not actually going, okay, that's me. I need to change. God, help me change. God, I repent of these stupid mistakes that I keep making. So my question to you this morning is, where in your life are there things, I just felt like this morning there's things in our heart that just keep coming to the surface. Maybe there's a bit of anger. Maybe people are just rubbing you the wrong way. And there's something in you that keeps going, oh. What is that in you? Maybe there's this bitterness. There's something there. And maybe it's God just trying to poke you, saying, you know what, there's stuff to deal with in our hearts. There's stuff to deal with in our life. And I want to do that today even. My job up here to speak to you this morning is not just to give you a good word. It's actually to engage your heart with God and to get you to see and evaluate your own heart of where am I? What am I doing? As quite a number of people have passed away, even this week, not even just that, every time I go, God, what's the point of this? Why the heck are we on this earth? And there's always those questions, right? And God goes, I'm just going to make you better. I'm going to make you more like me. And sometimes we can just feel like we're in the rabbit hole of life, getting nowhere. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe it's just another day, ticking another box. I just really feel like if that's you this morning, God says, enough's enough. I've got a purpose. I've got a journey for you to take, and it's not going to look nice, but I need you to accept it. I need you to go, okay, God, I'm ready. And even though it's going to turn to poop, it's not going to look nice. I might have to flee some things, right? God, I'm ready. Because otherwise, what's the point of all this? I feel like I've made the point this morning. But I don't think God's done. I'm going to get the team up in a minute. We're actually going to have a time of communion. And in that, I want us just to evaluate our heart. Because I feel like some of us keep going around this rabbit hole, this everyday battle of God, what am I doing today? Okay, we'll get through this day. You're still journeying it with Him. But there's no purpose. There's no destination. There's no future. There's no hope. There's no joy. It's just another day. And I want some of us just to ask God this morning, God, would you refine me? God, would you make me a better person? And God, would I know your heart greater so that I can reflect who you are? The team's going to sing a song. I might get you guys up now. It's called Threshing Floor. It's a new song that's out. We're going to kind of listen to it as we come up. We're going to grab our communion. We're going to tear a bit of bread, grab a drink. We're going to go back to our seat and just hold it for a minute. This song is all about this. If you don't know what a threshing floor is, from the olden days, they used to bring in the harvest, chuck it on the ground, and they'd have a oxen or whatever dragging like a big metal rod with rocks on it and start crushing everything. And it would take away all the rubbish. So it's speaking of the same thing. But as these guys sing this song, we're going to come up, grab our stuff, come back to our chair. But I just want you to evaluate your heart before we take communion today. Of where am I at? Where am I heading? And what's the purpose God's actually given me in my life? What's the word that God's given in my heart? That one thing that He's given no one else to do on this world. And God, where have I stepped in the way? Where have I got in the way? And God, what do you want to clean out this morning? So why don't you come as these guys sing, and then we'll take it together in a minute.
thanks to what I gave, I'll tear down every idol so this heart won't stray. Don't let me stray. And I just wanna be your sanctuary, a dwelling place for grace and mercy. Keep sifting me till everything is on the threshing floor. Calling, didn't push the cup away for the joy before you. You renew my shame. After all that you went through, how can I ever complain? Forgive me, Lord. I just wanna be your sanctuary, a dwelling place for grace and mercy. Keep sifting me till everything is on the threshing floor. Let it fall on the threshing floor. Everything that's between you and me, Lord. You and me, Lord. Let it fall on the threshing floor. Everything that's between you and me, Lord. You and me, Lord. Let it fall on the threshing floor. Everything that's between you and me, Lord.
Father God, I just pray right now, God. God, all those things in our heart, Father God, where we might have stepped out of alignment this morning.
Let it fall on the threshing floor. Everything that's between
you and me, Lord. God, all those things in our heart that we know we got to deal with. God, we just hand it to you right now. Pray that you would create in us a new heart. That God, would you just wash us clean right now in the name of Jesus. God, all our sin, all the stuff that doesn't please you, God. God, would you make us right again in you? God, would we be your sanctuary? God, we be a place where you want to be.
For grace and mercy, keep sifting me till everything is on.
God, we examine our heart that, God, we want to be right before you this morning. God, we just want to think about what you've done for us now. God, we want to think about the pain that you've been through to make our hearts right with you. Just on the night you were betrayed, you took bread, and when they had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. This this cup was the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So together this morning, why don't we just take the bread in our hand. Father God, we just thank you for the price that you paid for our sin this morning. God, we remember what you've done. We remember that sacrifice. And we just, as we eat it together, Father God, would we together just, in memory of who you are and what you've done, have it together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat together. As we take this juice, Father God, God, that it represents the blood that you shed for us. It represents the pain that you went through because of the stuff that we've done. But God, we recognize that great sacrifice that you made, that we would be made right with you. God, as we take that, God, we just remember that again in Jesus' name.
Let it fall on the threshing floor. Everything that's between you and me, Lord. You and me, Lord.
So the team are going to lead us in some worship now.
Let it fall. Let
it's just going to be some extended time. They got lots of songs.
Floor.
We're not going anywhere.
Everything that's between you and me, Lord.
But in this time, it's not about doing you an altar call. Lord. Just because we do. But may it be a time of reflection between you and God.
Everything that's between you.
May we examine our heart, Father God, right now. God, would you reveal to ourselves right now, God, what that thing is that you want to make right this morning.
Let it fall, let it fall.
And God, as we bring it to your altar this morning, God, would you just make us clean once again. That God, you would wipe it away. No matter what it is, that God, that you would be able to see your reflection in who we are. Not because we deserve it, but God, because you made a way for us. God, you made a path that we can come straight to your throne this morning and ask for forgiveness. And God, you would just wipe it clean. Maybe you're right in the furnace this morning and you just want some prayer around what's going on. I just encourage you, why don't you get to your feet this morning. We're going to worship him. If you want prayer this morning, the altar's open out the front, or if you just want to come forward and worship, you can. But yeah, let's spend some time with God this morning.